So this morning, we're talking about being at the cross, and at the cross is where weakness becomes strength. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I was never strong. I was always tall, but I was never buff. Adam is the buff person in our family. He was the one who always worked out and had the tuna can, walking around eating the tuna and the protein shakes. Anybody know anybody like that? And he was the one that was always worked on being healthy and strong. And I was just tall. And so, and that's okay. But, you know, in this life right now, I made a mention to Jazzercise the other night. I showed my age, right? How many remember that, right? But now it's not Jazzercise. What is it? Zumba, right? Boom, ba-da, boom, ba-da. Yeah, we get out there and do all this stuff, right? I don't know. I've never been, so I can't say that I know what they do. Maybe I should try that. Maybe I could get strong. But we want to do things to work on our bodies and get buff, right? I always laugh because people are like, man, I got to get ready for my beach body. I'm like, what are you talking about? I have a beach body 365 days of the year, right? What are you talking about? I'm always ready. Thank you. Courtesy laughs out there. Thank you. Appreciate that. Pray for my self-esteem right after the service this morning. So, but we want to be strong and we want to be healthy and all these. And really, let's be honest, in our mind, that's really what we want. Because in our actions, that generally doesn't say that. I was at a little store yesterday, and one of the things it said a diet to me is blowing the sugar off my donut. And I was like, the Lord led me here this morning, right? I was like, that's me. That a diet is just, you know, oh, that's a little too much. All right, here we go, right? And in our minds, we really want to be healthy, and we want to look the best we can, you know, when we're standing in front of the mirror. And then we walk away and we get to the table and we're like, heck yeah. Biscuits and gravy. That's what I'm talking about, right? Five slabs of bacon. I'm ready. We want to be strong sometimes, but it just doesn't work out. And see, we live in this world where that we think power is strength. We live in a world that thinks that wealth and position means that people are strong. And they have these abilities. We live in a world that believes that the survival of the fittest is what it's about. That, man, if you're strong, you're going to survive. You know, if not, you're just going to get swallowed up in the stream. We live in a world that believes that the power of money can solve every issue. How many of us know that's not true this morning? Because when you're sick and dying, guess what? Money doesn't mean anything. But we live in a world that believes that if we work hard, we can achieve whatever we want. We've told, how many of you have been told that in your own life? Just work hard, you can be anything you want to be. Just work hard. And there is some samples of truth in that, but maybe not all together. Maybe that's not God's plan for what you're working towards. But we've been told all these things of what the world believes to be true about strength and being strong. And this morning, the world also believes this, that if it was meant to be, it'll be. And then we open the Word. We get into the Bible and we find out that that's not really what God has intended for our lives. That's not really what God's plan has been for us all along. And when we open the Scriptures, truthfully, nothing can be further from the truth. Oh, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. No. If it's God's plan, it will happen. Oh, I'm just living my life, Ivan. You know, y'all be shocked at how many times that I've heard people say, man, I'm just taking it one day at a time. Really? Really? No plan. Oh, nope. Just wherever the wind blows is where I'm going. Okay, that's called sailing, right? That's not called purpose and plans. But that's how we live our lives so often. That if it's meant to be, it'll be. And then we open the Bible, and the Bible's telling us this, that everything that you need in your life is found right here, and you have to depend on God. That I want to lead you, and that I want to guide you. But you have to just surrender to me. And see, then we hear this battle of the world saying, oh, be strong, do whatever you want, you can be it. And then God's saying, surrender to me, give me everything. And the world's saying, do it yourself, get out there and work hard, be whatever you can be. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And God's saying, no, I've got a purpose and a plan. It's in direct conflict this morning. So this morning, I want you to wrap this around your mind today. That at the cross is where our weakness becomes strength. It's at the cross where we surrender to God in our weakness, in our frailties, in our brokenness. And it's where God's power becomes strong inside of our lives. Because until we're weak, God can't be strong. God's not going to fight this fight with us, this battle of wills. Because it's His will or nothing. See, we could raise our hands this morning. Most of us have tried it on our own. It hasn't worked out. And what God is saying is, surrender to me this morning. So I want to talk about weaknesses for a few moments. All of us have some kind of weakness. Right now you're thinking about it. I just alluded to a couple of things. Where are my food people at? Y'all can see me this morning. I'm standing up here in bright lights, right? I am a healthy soul. I love to eat. It's my favorite recreation. Love it. Love dessert. Oh my goodness. I love it. I love the thought of it. Thinking about it right now, I feel all warm and fuzzy. Anybody besides me? Right? Thank you. Love it. A couple of weeks ago, got to go to Paula Deen's in Gatlinburg. Family style, right? What that means is gorge, all right? That's slash for gorge. They just keep bringing it. Every time it gets empty, they sit something else down. I'm like, thank you, right? Thank you, right? 8 pounds later, all right? I rolled out to the car. Food sometimes is a weakness for us. Man, you have an affection for mayo or ranch, and you just can't pass it up. You eat it on ice cream or whatever you have, right? Ranch sandwiches and all those things. Or maybe it's not that for you. Man, you've got food tackled. It's not an issue. Not an issue at all. But maybe you have an addictive personality where alcohol and drugs grip your soul. And if you're somewhere where those things are being offered, you can't say no. And you're not able to walk away from it. And you find yourself living a life of dependency and in the bonds of dependency. Or maybe it's just not alcohol and drugs. Maybe it's some other kind of addiction. I mean, you're addicted to online gaming or whatever. It can be any kind of addiction. It's a weakness for you. Or maybe it's anger. Maybe when someone says something that you don't like or pushes you against the wall, you come out swinging because they needed to be punched in the mouth. Or they needed a good cursing because they needed to be set straight. Maybe anger is a problem for you, and it's a weakness. Some of us are weak when it comes to our money. We have no control over our spending habits. And when God blesses us with the health to work, and we get out there and we get a paycheck, instead of giving Him His portion and then taking care of our family and paying our bills, we run down to the nearest store and something we see that we really don't need, we spend the money on. Or we get online and we're playing games or we're gambling online and we're playing cards or whatever. Because, man, I can do this. I can turn this money around. And the next thing you know, we don't have any money and our kids are hungry and our needs aren't met. Or maybe this morning, a weakness for you is lust. You look at a man or a woman and your mind starts wondering and it leads to lust, which can lead to other things in your life. Whatever it is this morning. All of us have weaknesses because flesh is weak. And flesh is broken, and God is trying to lead us to the place that we can understand that we can walk past our weaknesses and find His strength when we submit it to Him. So go with me this morning to Matthew chapter 26. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along, your phones, your pads. If not, you can follow along on the screen this morning. I'm reading out of the NIV version. Matthew 26, 36 through 41. And this is Jesus talking. And I want to set the stage a little bit. This is right before He was to be betrayed and to be taken to the cross. Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And He said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with Him. And He began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, He fell with His face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will." And then He returned to His disciples and He found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch for me for 1 hour?" He asked Peter. And then He said this, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, here we find Christ about to go to one of the most amazing moments that humanity has ever known. And I'm amazed that he's still teaching those that were with him, because what happened here, he asked them to come along and they got tired, they fell asleep. All he asked them to do was sit with him and pray. Great friends. They couldn't even stay awake. And when he comes back to them, he makes this statement. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I don't know about you, but how many times in my mind, my spirit, man, I'm willing, but my flesh is weak. I know I need to go exercise. I know I need to go pray. I know I need to turn the TV off or get off the internet or lay my phone down. And my spirit is like, yes, I want to be more like God. But it's just so easy and comfortable to sit there, continue on what we're doing, because flesh is weak. And God is speaking to us this morning. He's saying some things like this. No matter how smart you think you are, no matter how much money you have this morning tucked away in the bank or buried in the yard, whatever your thing is, no matter how much you have invested, no matter how many degrees you've earned, no matter how hard you've worked into esteem that you've risen to, and get this one, no matter how long you've attended church, all of us have weaknesses and our flesh is weak. But the good news this morning is this. You don't have to walk in weakness. Everybody say good news. The good news is this. You don't have to stay right where you are. Now listen, there's a fine line this morning, church, between getting out and about and doing things that we know we should do and trusting in God. Okay, like I'm going to give you all some examples this morning. Like we over-spiritualize some things. And God is saying to us this morning, get out there and do some things. When you get up in the morning, you don't need to stand in your closet and say, God, what shirt should I wear today? Are you with me? God's given us the strength and the ability to make that decision. You don't need to stand in front of the refrigerator and say, God, what should I have for breakfast this morning? Oh, Lord, I need to intercede for this. That's ridiculous. Eat something and get busy. But on the other hand, in our major decisions, we need to be seeking God in every aspect of our lives. God, where do you want me to do? God, where do you want me to go? God, should I buy this? Should I not? Every decision of significance. And this morning, what God is saying is this. In your weakness, I want to show you how strong I am if you'll give me the opportunity. And stop trying to do things on your own. See, this morning, the good news is that Jesus Christ has already overcome every situation, every failure, every sin, anything in this life that you will face, he's already overcome it. It's already happened. It's already been paid for. It's already been taken care of. He's a strength to overcome our weaknesses. He's a strength this morning to overcome our failures. He's a strength this morning to take care of our shortcomings, our personal relationships, anything that troubles you this morning, Christ is able to overcome. And he'll give you the strength to be a part of that. This morning, go with me to Psalm 46, 1 through 3. The psalmist writes this morning, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we'll not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Listen, what this passage is saying this morning is this. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how high the waters get, no matter how the ground shakes and trembles and roars, I will be your strength. I will be your strength. God desires us to experience his strength and power. But the only way we can experience it is when we surrender to him our weaknesses. Now listen, church, I understand this goes against the way of the world. Because we hear in our minds, work harder, do more. And what God is saying, no, bring it to me, surrender, and I will be your strength. You know, the sad thing is in this life, sometimes the only time we can surrender to God is when we have fallen flat on our backs. and don't have the physical strength to get up. Sometimes that's the only time we experience true surrender. It's when we don't have the strength to do anything else. And sadly, we go at it on our own over and over and over when all we have to do is step back and surrender to God. Go with me this morning to 2 Corinthians. I want to read to you a little bit this morning about the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Verse 1 says this, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How many of you this week took that last line and you delighted in it? Just think back about this week. I had a crazy busy week. But I don't remember any point in my life that I sat down and went, thank you, God, for the hardships today. I'm so blessed. Anybody besides Ivan? Anybody just stop for a moment this week and go, man, it is so awesome to be persecuted for the kingdom of God. And my friends in there making fun of me at the water cooler because I'm a believer. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this difficulty. Praise God. Anybody? Anybody get up with this in mind? God, today I'm so excited. I know many a hardship will come. Let's get this day started. Praise the Lord. Anybody? Because none of us live our lives that way. Let's be honest. But this is Paul that we're talking about. Anybody remember this guy? The Apostle Paul, credited with somewhere between 8 and 13 books in the New Testament. The one who was persecuting the new church and had an incredible moment with God, where God spoke to him and said, what are you doing? Stop what you're doing. Change your life. Come live for me and I'm going to do great things through you. The Apostle Paul, the guy who, once he became a believer, was broken and battered and tortured and beaten because he would stand up and preach and he would proclaim the gospel. The same one that writes over and over and over about his chains and his bondage that he was in. The same one who was writing from a prison cell saying, I'm just thankful that I can be here. Anybody? Any takers this morning? Any takers that want to delight this morning in weakness and insults and hardship, persecution, or of course not. Of course not. We're not looking for trouble because guess what? This life has enough trouble of its own. But in these difficulties, what Paul is pushing us to understand is this. That the one thing that we need to walk away with this morning, if you get nothing else, that God's grace is sufficient for you. And that when you're weak, that's the time that he is so strong. When I was growing up, I may have shared this before. When you went into our bathroom in our home, there was a You could only see it if you were sitting on the toilet or in the mirror of your corner, right? You look in the mirror and there it was. It'd be hanging there. And it was the pulling footprints in the sand. Anybody ever seen that? And I didn't know it was in the Bible until years later, right? Because it was always on our wall. I just thought it had to be something from the Bible. But it's such a true statement. Because it talks about the difficulties of life and how there were two footprints in the sand. And that when life got really difficult, there was one set. And at times we thought we were walking on our own, but then they really realized that it was in the most difficult time that God was carrying them along the way. It's a beautiful point. And it has some truth to it this morning. It's not in the scripture, but it has some truth to it. That when we can't go anymore, that's when God jumps in there and is like, I've been working out for eternity. I am ready for this. Right? God's like, have you ever seen muscles like this? Watch this. I can flex my hand. And he holds you. And he takes you from where you are to where he needs you to be. Where you can't go on your own. So why do we continue to kick against what God is doing and try to do it on our own? Even the great patriarch of faith, Paul, understood to become weak so that God could become strong. Now, it doesn't mean we don't do the things that we should do, that we should get up and we should go to work and we should take care of our families and we should do the things that we know we're supposed to do. It doesn't mean that. But it means when life becomes overwhelming and we don't know which way to turn and our minds are running in chaos, that we turn to God and say, God, I am broken and weak. Here I am. Will you be my strength? But here's our problem. We want to be strong. God, I know you're strong, but look at these. Tweet. I know they're little, but God, I'm working on them. We want to be strong, and we want, let's be honest, we want to just take care of it. We want to handle it on our own. God, thanks, but I've got this one. And you may not say that to God verbally, but you say it with your actions this morning when we don't turn to God and say, I'm weak, God. Be my strength. God, help me. I don't know what to do in this situation. We're saying to God, God, I've got this one. I'll call you if I need you. And God's not an on-call God. God wants to be there in the present, in the moment. We feel self-sufficient, right? I'm self-sufficient. I don't need anyone. I'm smart, and I'm strong, and I have great self-esteem. And what God's saying is, that's wonderful, but you don't understand that you need me, and I'm here to help you in every aspect of your life. God's wanting to reach you this morning. See, it's a mindset issue. We talk about our mindsets a lot around here because we get caught up in the world mindset. And what God is saying is this, don't listen to that, listen to my word. Get your belief, your worldview from my word. And follow me. See, it's only when we are completely depleted that God can be everything that we need him to be. Everybody say depleted. That's not a word we use a lot. But when our lives are completely depleted, that's when we'll see God like we've never seen him before. You know, I had someone ask me this not too long ago. They said, Ivan, why don't we see things in the United States like people are seeing all over the world? And I'll be honest with you all. Many of you know this, that my brother was in India back and forth for 7 years. I asked him that exact question. I said, man, why is it that in India, y'all see miracles and you see these amazing things happen that we don't see in the United States? And the answer is this, is that we're not desperate. We're not depleted. We're not broken because we ate this morning. We drove in our cars. We turned the air, the heat on in our homes. We turned the water on. It was hot or cold or because everything we have is comfortable. And we like it that way. And we stood in our closets and went, which of the 476 outfits should I wear this morning? Right? Because we're not depleted. Because we're not broken. Because we're not desperate. And it's only sometimes when we're flat on our back when the doctor says, you're dying and you have 1 year to live, that we really understand weakness and God's strength. And what's sad is that we live our lives this way, when really from day one we can understand our weakness and God's strength and live this way day in and day out. But we want to do it on our own. Listen, what God's saying to us this morning is this: less of you, more of me. What God's saying to you this morning, if you want to write something down, is less of your opinions and more of my word. Write that one down. Less of your opinions and more of my word. Less of your plans and more of my spirit. Less of your goals and more surrender. Because you need me to move forward in this life. Listen, God has a plan for you that is amazing. We talked about it last week. The things that God has in store for us are more than we could ever ask or imagine. But our lives become so convoluted of trying to do it on our own that we forget the part about surrendering at the cross. And that's what God's asking us this morning. See, this morning at the cross, we'll find the grace and the strength that God has for us. And then we can see everything that He's called us to be. But it's only then. See, in His grace this morning, God's given us the strength to go in the name of the Lord despite every circumstance you may be facing right now. See, on the cross this morning, and it's God's grace that came from that work of the cross, that we find every bit of the grace to go in the strength of the name of the Lord when the storms of life are raging all about us. When we say things like this, I don't think I can go much lower than where I am. Or, I've had to look up to see bottom. It's in those moments that the grace that we find at the cross that gives us the strength to go in the name of the Lord, that when we become the target at work and malicious things are being said about us, the gossip is going around, that God gives us the strength to face it. See, it's at the cross and the grace that we find there that we find the strength to go in the name of the Lord when trials and tribulations and death knock at our door, that we can face every situation. See, this morning, church, it's God's grace that gives us the strength. It's the grace and the mercy that's only found at the cross. That when we're weak, He's made strong. And so what I want you to hear today as we wrap things up this morning is this. No matter what you're in right now or what's knocking at your door, in weakness, God is made strong. That His grace is sufficient for you. That there's nothing that you're in or coming out of or troubled by that His grace cannot cover. And this morning, when you think all hope is lost, everything is coming to an end, He's still got you just like this. And He's holding you. He's carrying you. He's speaking to you. And He'll be everything that you need. I'm going to close with a famous scripture, most of you probably know it by heart, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord, all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Listen this morning. At the cross, our weakness is made strong. This morning, I challenge you, church, in the coming days, as you pray and seek God and you mull over this message, to ask God, God, how do I have more of you and less of me? God, teach me this morning what it means to surrender so that I can find your strength in my weakness. Let's pray together this morning. God, thank you so much for your incredible love for us.